Speaking at a political rally in Dallas, Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor to the president, said that a military coup can and should happen in the United States. He was asked by a Marine who said that he was but a simple Marine, but wondered, why can't what happened in Myanmar happen here? Michael Flynn said it can and it should happen. For those that aren't familiar with what happened in Myanmar, it was a military coup sparked by claims of election fraud. Of course, now Michael Flynn is saying it should be the same here. Now, there's a lot of difficult editorial decisions in producing content like this. I'm sure there are many people who say, oh, he didn't call for a military coup. Oh, he's not doing it. He did. I recently criticized Nancy Pelosi when she called, I believe she called the Joint Chiefs of Staff and said, take away Trump's ability to fire nukes. And they said, ma'am, this is a that would be a military coup. We can't do that. I have no problem calling it out like it is. And we've heard from many leftists who said that there should be escalation, there should be protests, there should be riots. We called each and every one of those instances a call for violence or a call for escalation. In this instance, Michael Flynn did just that. And it was quite scary. He was in a room full of people who cheered at the idea of a military coup in the United States. He made his statement about there should be one. And people started clapping and cheering for it. And now I wonder, have we already entered the hot portion of the Civil War, or is this the threshold by which we enter it? For the past several years, it has been said that we are in a cold Civil War. Some people have argued that every 4 years is a Civil War, but I think it's been substantially worse this time around than it's been, at least in my lifetime. Sure, when George W. Bush got elected, people pelted his car with eggs, or I think that's what happened. I don't know. I was really young at the time. And people were saying, not my president, but, you know, we moved on from that. Maybe something similar could be happening now, but we've actually had people die. And we've actually had people storm the Capitol during the counting of the Electoral College votes. I understand that some people were befuddled and just let into the building. They walked in calmly, had no idea what was going on. But there were many people who stormed into the Capitol and fought with cops. The left now is trying to get a commission on January 6th, and the right is saying it was a riot and nothing more. But it's a grain of sand in the heap. A few years ago, I was talking about the prospect of a hot civil war, and I said we are watching different factions fight each other in the streets. Many people say it's reminiscent of Weimar Germany just before the rise of the Nazis. But I had many people on the left and the right tell me I was wrong to suggest it was ever possible there would be a civil war. My argument was this. As the cultural war, the culture war and the ideological split between factions continues to grow, it will seep into government institutions, into financial institutions, and once it reaches critical mass and the highest levels, you will then get an impasse. And that's when fighting starts. When negotiation is done, when no one cares. We're now looking at audits over the election in New Hampshire and in Arizona. And the latest news out of New Hampshire is that it wasn't fraud, just a glitch where certain votes weren't being counted or just being given to Democrats, which created a very serious problem. Does anyone really care? Will the right care? No, it just confirms what they already thought in the first place, although it doesn't confirm fraud. Arizona, who knows what we're going to get out of that in the end? But the left thinks it's all a big sham. Left-wing sources are saying it's fake news. Mainstream media is saying, well, here's an interesting quirk and glitch. And the right is saying we already knew. When you take into consideration that the former national security advisor for the president is saying these things, when you take into consideration that people have been setting fire to buildings and rioting for a year and the media has defended them, where do you think this goes? And it's strange to me that I've said this over and over again for years and it just keeps getting worse. At a certain point, we will cross the threshold into hot conflict. I have people on the left, however. They say, Tim, you're wrong. You're so dumb for suggesting civil war. What would you say to Michael Flynn's statements? And whenever they say this to me, they're like, didn't you say there was going to be a civil war? And I'm like, what would you say about January 6th? Now, you might just say, people on the right, it was simply a riot. I know, but it's grains of sand in a heap. People think that war is this far-off, distant idea that you know when it happens. You don't. I've been there. I've seen it. And I'll warn you again now. A Princeton professor said, cold civil war. We're in it. Well, with violence and death and the escalation, we're either at the door of hot conflict or we've walked through it and it's just not that bad yet. But we'll see where it goes. Let me break down the news for you and give you the full context of what's happening. Read this story. Before we get started, head over to timcast.com and become a member to get access to the members only area. You can click the big old members button, sign up. When you do, you help support my work. In the event that I get suspended, a strike, or banned, you can find our work at timcast.com, and your membership helps us expand. We're hiring people. We're very close to launching a newsroom. It's going to be epic, and you're going to love it. So your support is more than just getting access to the members-only area. But don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And more importantly, if you believe in the work that I'm doing, sharing is the most important thing you can do. I don't have the marketing budget of CNN, and YouTube props them up. If you like what I do and think it's important, agree with the message, disagree with me personally, but like the news coverage, sharing this is powerful and it can help bring about some serious change. Let's read the first story. Ex-Trump advisor Michael Flynn says Myanmar-like coup should happen in the U.S. They say, appearing in Dallas at a QAnon conference, Flynn was asked during a Q&A session that was shared in a Twitter video, "I want to know why what happened in Myanmar can't happen here." After cheers from the crowd died down, Flynn responded, "No reason. I mean, it should happen here." Myanmar's military seized power February 1st and imprisoned the country's democratically elected leaders on the basis of unproven allegations of voter fraud. At least 800 civilians have died and thousands have been arrested in protests that have racked the Southeast Asian nation in the months that followed. Supporters of the Q conspiracy have praised the Myanmar coup and called for the U.S. military to do the same, citing unsubstantiated claims of election fraud. Now I'll pause for a second. It doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with this. I'm not here to say I know definitively. For the most part, I don't know what's happening behind the scenes and the nitty-gritty. I can tell you this. I am simply informing you that there is a conflict. It cannot be mended. The bridge is gone. The fissure has grown so wide. The right believes what they do, and you will not change their mind. I won't. The left believes what they do. You will not change their mind. I won't. I can only tell you the divide is very real. I can show you this story from MarketWatch, but I want you to consider something. Up top, they say, bias split across 17 sources from ground.news. They show only 13% of the stories written about this come from right-wing sources, 27 from centrist, and 60 from left-wing sources. Earlier this morning, I covered a story about Andy Ngo. Many on the left, extremists, attacked a man they claimed was Andy Ngo. That story was overwhelmingly just reported on the right. You see what's happening here. On the right, they say Antifa, violence, Andy Ngo was attacked. On the left, they say insurrection, right-wing, QAnon. Make sure you're not blinded by biased news sources. Make sure you're reading most. I think it's good that many of you are watching this, whether you agree or disagree. But I want to point this out, that MarketWatch is said to have a center bias, but I do think it's leaning slightly left on this. They go on to say, Flynn, a former army general, was fired by Trump in 2017. We know this. He was then accused by Flynn. Last summer, Flynn posted a video reciting QAnon slogans. Twitter banned Flynn and others in January in a purge of accounts promoting QAnon theories. I want to show you, I want to break down what's happening for you. I want to show you, first I want to show you a bit of the bias. From Business Insider, and this is linked from MarketWatch, the Omni Dallas Hotel is hosting a QAnon conference. That's a framing device. I'll try to break things down to the best of my ability. They mention it was actually called For God and Country Patriot Roundup, which will feature prominent conservatives, including former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Now, the media will call it a Q conspiracy conference because many of the people there have agreed with or pushed those ideas. It's literally a political conference. Now, what I find so alarming in all of this, what was said by Michael Flynn, I know, again, many of you may be saying he's not calling for a military coup. Well, many have praised what happened there. We don't know for sure. All that matters is the ideological split. In Myanmar, the military claimed there was election fraud, so they intervened. Well, because many on the right have stated something similar here in the U.S., of course they would want the military to intervene. Of course they would call for such a thing. Vox.com, a left bias source, writes, Myanmar's coup is uniting a country riven by ethnic divisions. Will it last? They're going to mention this. When the military claimed voter fraud in that election, well, let me go back one. Su Thit, 30, lived abroad but returned to Myanmar in the past decade, when the country, with a new constitution, began to ease into civilian rule. She wanted to be a small part of that future. She supported Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy, and like the rest of her family, voted for that party in elections this last November. When the military claimed voter fraud in that election to justify its takeover of the civilian government, she knew it was a lie. When the military began massacring protesters, she knew her purpose, to be a small part of Myanmar's future, would now require something different. Out on the streets among the mass of protesters, she felt motivated. We began to understand that it'll be a long road, Suthit says. It would not be finished in 1 week or 1 month. I bring this story up to reference, obviously. The claims from the military was election fraud. But to give you an idea of what will happen should anything like that occur in the U.S. Now, I think it's highly unlikely. Of course, you have many people who believe there's going to be this big intervention or some, you know, military move or Trump. I just really don't see it happening. Many people point out lab leak theory. They say the media was wrong about that. Maybe they're wrong about Q and about Trump and all that. Sure, fine. I don't know. I can tell you what I'm seeing now. I'm not here to support one side or the other, just to tell you the ideological split is growing and people are going to be emboldened. And should anything happen, you will get people out on the street in a sustained period period of likely violence. As they mentioned, 800 people had been killed. I want to show you this story from NBC Boston. Interestingly, Ground News bias assessment shows that it's 44% right wing, 23% centrist, 33% left wing. So a good mix of people are hearing this news from the mainstream media, NBC Boston. Auditors find no fraud in disputed New Hampshire election. I want to show you the weaknesses of just calling out the bias of the outlet and why you need to read both left and right. They say a discrepancy showing Republicans getting hundreds more votes in a local Windham race drew the attention of Trump and his supporters in their effort to find evidence of his wider claim of fraud in 2020. Now, the headline says auditors find no fraud in disputed New Hampshire election. But the headline should probably read glitch causes votes to shift. That's it. Why did NBC Boston just frame it as no fraud when the bigger concern is discrepancies? That's where things get interesting. Let me read you the story. They say, there is no evidence of fraud or political bias in a controversial New Hampshire election where a recount and audit has drawn the interest of former President Trump, auditors concluded Thursday. I believe, based on my assessment, that is a true and correct statement. But there's more. Rather, auditors investigating the election in the town of Windham believe a folding machine used by the town to try to accommodate the number of absentee ballots in the November election is responsible for mistakenly adding to vote counts for candidates in four legislative seats. Quote, we found no evidence of fraud or political bias. Mark Lindemann, one of the three auditors and the acting co-director of Verified Voting, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization, said, I have heard no one actually articulate a credible hypothesis of how fraud could account for what we found. They say the town used the machine to fold the absentee ballots before sending them to voters. After they were returned, the ballots were fed into a counting machine. Because the folds on some ballots went through a Democrat's name, the ballot was either not counted or a vote was wrongly given to the Democrat. The audit mandated by the legislature and started earlier this month finished Thursday. It was called by lawmakers from both parties after a recount requested by a losing Democratic candidate in one of the legislative races showed the Republicans getting hundreds more votes than were originally counted. No matter the audit findings, the results won't change. You see, this is interesting because it benefits the Democrats. It Democrated a Democrat who lost. I see this meme. It's really funny. There's a meme that says not a single Republican challenged their own election. It's actually not true. I believe it was Michael Kelly in Pennsylvania who did win and challenged the results based on the law, not on any claims of fraud. Why do I highlight this? Well, we have this audit. We have the right wing narrative, the left wing narrative, and I don't think it matters. This will be used to embolden both factions because NBC doesn't know how to do its job. The left, they'll take the headline and they'll write stories about it where they don't tell you the full context. The right will focus specifically on the discrepancies. Ground News, their bias distribution. They say auditors find no fraud in disputed New Hampshire election. Again, even Ground News, I'm a fan, but they're not putting in the appropriate headline. There should be a comma And it should say, but did find discrepancies. If you take a look at the left-wing articles, they say, another election audit disproves Trump's claims of fraud. New Hampshire election audit praised by Trump shows no evidence of fraud. WHDH, auditor finds no fraud. Now let's see what the right has to say. NH voter integrity leader, smoking gun proof of election fraud from OAN. The Gateway Pundit says audit of Wyndham, New Hampshire is a sham due to conflicts. Okay. Twitchy says forensic audit touted by Trump finds no evidence of fraud. Hey, a bit unbiased, would you think? And USA News says forensic audit finds no evidence of fraud. Interestingly, it's all being framed similarly by left and right, which I can't say is surprising because the right, in my opinion, many of these outlets tend to do a decent job telling these stories and giving you the full details. I think they should include the discrepancy in the title. They don't. But the left is going to latch onto it saying, see, no proof of fraud at all. The people who already believe it will believe it. And the people who already believe Trump will just believe Trump. And this will be used, in my opinion, to just add to the escalation. It's interesting how framing is everything. That you can take a story of Antifa, the left will say a mostly peaceful protest, and then that's it. People on the left will just be like, see, it's a peaceful protest. The right will say violent riot, and it usually is a violent riot. Well, Michael Flynn will be the next escalation beyond just his statement. We have this from Newsweek. Michael Flynn could face court-martial for Myanmar coup remark ex-Trump official. Newsweek says, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, an army officer who was fired by the Trump White House, has said Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, could face a court-martial over his remarks that a Myanmar-like military coup should happen in the U.S. Quote, I want to know, we know this. Vindman said, with these seditious remarks, Comrade Flynn may have crossed the line for recall to active duty and court-martial. As a JAG, I'm qualified and also happy to prosecute this case. P.S. U.S. military would never support this. We love America. Interesting. I've heard different things. I've heard from some people who have friends in the military that most people in the military are Trump. I've heard from some people who've quit that there's too much wokeness. I think wokeness is seeping in, but there may be many people who are pro-MAGA. The reality is the divide, the culture war, it's in our military. It's in our federal branch. It's in our executive branch. It's at the highest level with Donald Trump, the president. It's there now with Joe Biden in office. The split exists. They go on to say, Steve Vladek, a professor at the University of Texas School of Law, noted that Flynn is still subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Quote, the constitutionality of jurisdiction over retirees for post-retirement offenses is something we're currently challenging in the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces in the D.C. Circuit, he tweeted. Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. This we understand. Vindman was the guy with Ukraine. We know this. His twin brother, Alexander Vindman, who also served on the NSC, was a key witness in the Democrats' impeachment inquiry into Trump's dealings with Ukraine. So I absolutely need to clarify this. It's Eugene Vindman, not the other guy who was Alexander Vindman. Alexander Vindman was one of the witnesses in the Ukraine thing. This guy's his brother who was fired, probably because of this. Both brothers were fired from the NSC shortly after the Senate voted to acquit Trump. Alexander Vindman retired from the army last year and said he has been subjected to a campaign of bullying and retaliation. Now, the reason why I say this could be the next bit of escalation. Michael Flynn, should he get court-martialed, will light a bigger fire under many of these people on the right. Although I'm not entirely convinced it would have that big of an impact, to be completely honest. I think it might make people upset, but I don't see it actually being a catalyst for anything large because Michael Flynn was already prosecuted for political reasons, in my opinion. You know, the man was doing his job as a national security advisor and they went after him, went after his family. So it's just downright really creepy stuff. I don't see conservatives getting up and doing anything about it. And I don't see conservatives convincing anybody because of Michael Flynn. The reality is it comes down to what the media says and regular people believe. I watched a video recently. Some conservatives, they do this all the time. Some Democrats, they do this all the time. They go out and they do men in the street interviews where they ask people simple things. In one, they were like, what's Memorial Day? Today's Memorial Day, by the way. It's a day in which we honor those who have fallen in war, those who make sure that flag flies and flies free. Many people said, I don't know. Some people said it's about workers. Some people said it's about, you know, when people lose their lives, they just didn't know. Some people said it was a holiday for imperialism. Many people didn't know. These people vote. These people don't care. They'll vote Democrat. They'll go out with their friends, but they don't care about you. They don't care about the news. If you can rally those people, you can win elections. And that's what it's really about. The problem conservatives have is they often get into the nitty gritty. Much of what I'm telling you now, most people don't know anything about. When I cover the Ukraine scandal, for instance, and conclude based on the writings of liberal journalists and conservatives that Joe Biden is crooked and was seeking to enrich himself and his family through illicit Ukraine dealings, most people have lack such knowledge to get to the point where they would understand the story that they dismiss it outright. Then they hear from the media that Trump is bad and they say, hey, whatever the celebrities say, I suppose, and they vote for it. I'm not convinced in the end Michael Flynn will have a big impact no matter what happens. So I don't want to act like his statements on a coup are all that important. But I will point out that we're getting to that point in the narrative. People have talked about January 6th. They've talked about insurrection, the left call, saying it's an insurrection and all that and claiming it was just a riot. But we're at the point now where you can deny it all you want. And January 6th, you know, even the New York Post is now calling it an insurrection. You got Michael Flynn saying, military coup, do it. And the Oath Keepers, four more Oath Keepers charged in January 6th insurrection. So say New York Post, we have a quote. Prosecutors allege Stuart Rhodes started talking about plans to forcefully keep Trump in the White House months before the insurrection and exchanged dozens of messages, calls, and other communications with the co-defendants before and during the riots. Quote, we're going to defend the president, the duly elected president, and we call on him to do what needs to be done to save our country. Because if you don't, guys, you're going to be in a bloody, bloody civil war. And a bloody, you can call it an insurrection, or you can call it a war or fight. Rhodes allegedly wrote on November 9th in a message to Hackett, two other previously charged defendants, and other followers of Oath Keepers, the outlet reported. I'm willing to sacrifice myself for that, Rhodes allegedly went on. Let the fight start there. That will give President Trump what he needs, frankly. We want him to declare an insurrection and to call us up as the militia. Lawyers for Dolan and Isaacs didn't return their comments. I feel bad for a lot of these guys. They actually thought Donald Trump was interested in any of this. Donald Trump conceded several times. He came out and he said, it's over, guys, go home, be peaceful. And these people still thought standing in a building would do something. It was stupid. And many were violent. And some weren't. Some were just bewildered and walking around and the doors opened up and they walked on in. That's what I find fascinating. Some of these cops taking selfies with these individuals, some of these cops agreeing on terms with them, and reports that the famous Q shaman actually stopped people from stealing food from the break room suggests that the main narrative from the left is incorrect. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you why it doesn't matter, because it's not just about Michael Flynn's statements. It's about conservatives and their unwillingness to defy the New York Times and Democrat opinion. There was someone who said, and I can't remember who the quote comes from, that Republican politicians are more concerned about what the New York Times thinks about them than their own constituents. I believe that's true. Take a look at the New York Post, a seemingly conservative outlet. The New York Post challenged the Biden family, wrote exclusive stories critical of the Biden family, exclusive stories that painted them in a very bad light. The New York Post now says insurrection. Continually adopting, using the language of the left in every single respect. We hear with Antifa, autonomous zones, and the conservatives say it. There's a few areas where they defy, like mostly defying insurrection, mostly defying the phrases peaceful protest because, well, we know the truth. But when the New York Post adopts that narrative, it's only a matter of time before that's the official narrative. January 6th was an insurrection. Even the conservatives agree. And once that framing is accepted, it's over. Right now, the Democrats are trying to get a commission on January 6th to investigate all these people. Where's the commission on COVID? I mean, that's something we seriously need to understand what happened, where it came from. And as the media repeatedly is wrong, it's hard to know exactly how things will play out, what's true and what isn't. I showed you the New Hampshire story. The folds in the ballots created discrepancies. It was apparently good for Democrats. We'll see how this ends up, you know, what it ends up turning into. The Daily Mail reports, liberal media finally admit they made a mistake discussing Wuhan lab leak theory just because Trump backed it. Washington Post, New York Times, and ABC pundits say some have egg on their face. Lab leak hypothesis was basically banned by YouTube. You had to be very careful in reporting it. YouTube would strike your channel and remove the video. The mainstream media said it was a conspiracy. It never happened. Now it may happen. So I look at this. I look back at everything they've reported, and it was all disinformation. And if that was all disinformation, as was the Russiagate stuff, and we can go back to the Iraq War, why should I believe anything they're reporting on anything else? It's hard, right? Why should I believe any of these stories about Myanmar, especially? Now, when it comes to Michael Flynn, I watched the video. I heard him say these words. I don't know. Maybe Vox is lying about Myanmar. There's some other stories that confirm what they're saying. Why should I believe it? I have this story from 538. What's happening in Arizona is not really an audit or a recount. It's a partisan inquisition. That's the narrative. And that, to me, is all that matters. It doesn't matter if it's true or false. It matters that 538 is a left-leaning, biased outlet. Ground News saith so. And they're telling the left it's all a big sham. On the right, they're saying it's an audit. The mainstream right, those that are allowed to keep speaking, those who haven't been banned, are the ones saying that it's bad, or they're saying it was an insurrection. Maybe the New York Post figured it out. Maybe when the New York Post wrote bad things about Hunter Biden and got banned, they got scared. Circulation declined. They lose money. So they say, we'll just frame it the way you want. There are certainly things I can't say right now. There are certainly names I can't say. YouTube would delete the video instantly. But I wouldn't say it's an insurrection unless it was. And if I have to get banned at some point, so be it. That's why we set up timcast.com. 538. They've been very, very wrong over the past several years. Here's what they say. Per state law, after almost every countywide election in Arizona, a multi-party audit board must conduct a hand count of ballots, blah, blah, blah. 6+ months later, Maricopa County's ballots are still being counted, but by another group entirely. They go on to mention basically the gist of it. It's not being done through the official channels. It's something else. Doesn't matter. The right believes it's a real audit. I talked to many people who are like, did you see what happened? Did you hear about, you know, these signatures and that hard drive and this, that, and whatnot? And I say to all of them, why does it matter? What does it matter? Because, like, if Trump gets evidence, what doesn't matter? No matter what you say, you can frame it however it's to be framed. Antifa is a peaceful protest or a violent riot. The media will just say what they want to say. People already believe what they believe, and this is just going to generate confirmation bias. I don't believe any regular person who doesn't care or pay attention is going to be shocked by anything that comes out of any of these things. So what happens? I think we're on track for hot conflict. I think things are going to escalate. I think people are going to freak out. And I wonder if this, stories like this next one I'm about to read, are what actually will be a large catalyst. Tennessee lawmakers alarmed by reports White House secretly flying migrant children into state. I say maybe. I know people who voted for Joe Biden. They said Donald Trump and the kids in cages. Joe Biden reopened the cage facilities. Joe Biden is smuggling children. I'm seeing many of these Biden voters posting their L's online on Twitter. But I also know many people who don't care at all about these stories. They voted for the man, and they're content with whatever happens. They don't care. So what I mean to say with that is these people don't matter. If their opinion is nothing, no matter what, it's just whatever the media says, they're not going to be active in any real conflict. And when the UK, YouGov, did a poll in the UK of people who were woke, they found 12% who said they were and 23 said they weren't. Your numbers are shoring up. How many regular people just don't want to be involved and are being forced to be involved? Where will the chips fall? I don't know. I believe if any one of these factions reaches 35%+ is when you'll get real hot conflict. The woke is around 12% in the UK, but that makes sense based on what we saw with YouGov data here in the US a few years ago. It was around 8%. It's probably increased. But the increase in the woke probably increases the anti-woke. Channels like mine become more prominent and more people learn about what's going on. At a certain point, people are going to say enough. And when you get rallying cries, like from Michael Flynn saying, nothing's stopping a military coup from happening, and it should happen, then you have to wonder at what point the people who are standing up and cheering actually want something to happen and go make it happen. We don't want anything like that. We don't want that to happen. We don't want anything like that to happen. These people don't understand. When you hear about these stories about military coup, What if it was the left that did it? You'd not be happy. Yeah, so don't advocate for destabilization, which negatively impacts you. It's the same thing with free speech. Don't advocate for censorship or authoritarianism because it will be used against you. If you believe that a military coup or some kind of, you know, insurrection is going to benefit you in the long run, it won't. Because then the other side or other people just use the same tactics. And that's what I warn of to the left. After you have your glorious revolution, who will protect your revolution from the next glorious revolution? Nobody. Your guards, maybe? And then the cycle continues. Now, as for solutions, man, it's tough. You need to build culture. You need to change minds with fun, exciting culture. I make a vlog. It's called Cast Castle. We got a Gadsden flag in the video. So now when people see skateboarding and rollerblading and scooting and BMXing, and they're like, that's so cool. And they see a Gadsden flag and they see a pro skater. When they go to school and their teacher says, this symbol is hateful, they say, what are you talking about? My favorite people use that flag. You're lying. You're wrong. I know what that means. You educate by building culture. That's what we want to do. The ends don't justify the means. Michael Flynn's statements are alarming. I think it's going to escalate no matter what. So, I mean, be cautious. Stay apprised. Pay attention. Because sooner or later, more people are going to take more action. You think January 6th was going to be a one-off? They're putting some of these people in solitary. It's going to enrage people on the right. We'll see how it plays out. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. at youtube.com/timcastirl. Thanks for hanging out, and I will see you all then.